Mr. Ambassador, thank you for joining us again on German Public Radio Deutschlandfunk. It's good to have you on the program again.
Thank you for having me.
There are minimum more than 200,000 people with Palestinian background living in Germany. Some of them do have the German citizenship, others don't. It's probably the largest community in Europe, significantly concentrating in Berlin and other German bigger cities. And we are witnessing the violence from various sides. And we have been witnessing that for more than a year by now. How does that, all that, resonate in the Palestinian community in Germany?
Well, thank you very much. First and foremost, I must highlight the fact that the overwhelming majority of Palestinians here in Germany identify as Germans of a Palestinian background. And the overwhelming majority of them are German citizens. However, the events of the last year, and if I must say, actually the events that have been ongoing for the last 80 years continue to cast a heavy shadow on many aspects of their lives, whether here in Germany or in other parts of the world, but particularly here in Germany.
What emotions do you notice? Is it frustrations? Is it anger? Is it desperation?
Pain, excruciating pain. When you see your own people getting slaughtered and the massacres that are being committed against them are broadcast live on TV. I know thousands upon thousands of Germans of a Palestinian background who have lost family only in recent months. And I'm talking about parents. They've lost, some of them have lost parents, mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, and cousins and extended members of their family. So it's personal. What is adding to their pain is what they perceive, rightly so, I must say, the lack of sympathy towards them. Not from the society in particular, but mm-hmm. from politicians, particularly local politicians. And the way with which they continue to feel that they were not given even the right to grieve their loss. One member of the Palestinian German community has told me that I feel that I'm denied the right to grieve my the family that I lost in Gaza.
What does that mean? Who's denying whom the right to grieve?
Well, I'm sure that you've seen how the debate evolved vis-a-vis the ongoing criminal aggression against the Palestinian people in Gaza, and how people who are trying to protest the war and calling for an end to this war, how they were vilified and were labeled as supporters of violence, which is, of course, not the case, which was, of course, a false label that was unjustly leveled at them and unfortunately continues to be leveled at them. And so many mm-hmm. people felt so intimidated even to express their grief over the family that they've lost.
So if I understand correctly, you're saying that the freedom of expression, the freedom of speech is limited in case of Palestinians wanting to organize demonstrations, for instance, on the streets of Berlin.
I'm not talking about demonstrations per se. I'm talking about the overall discussion about the Palestinian-Israeli conflict.
You talked about the lack of empathy of German politicians towards Palestinian emotions and the history of Palestine. Who are you talking about specifically?
I'm referring to an overall perception.
How's your contact with the mayor and governor of the state and city of Berlin, Kai Wegner?
I have not met him.
Why not?
I haven't had the opportunity to meet with them.
How come the ties with the government of a city in which so many Palestinians are living is so weak, or as you put it, non-existent?
Well, I think that you ought to ask these questions to the government of Berlin, which one would assume is the government that is responsible for all of its residents. And I hope that the government of Berlin would approach all its citizens with sympathy, with solidarity, and would hear them out.
In Germany, some politicians have introduced the term of German Staatsräson, for which there is no exact equivalent, I believe, in the English language, but I'm sure you understand it. Mm-hmm. German Staatsräson as a concept that is supposed to be understood as aligning with Israel's positions, supporting, backing Israel, delivering weapons, and speaking out against anti-Semitism. Mr. Ambassador, what is your understanding of Staatsräson?
Well, Staatsräson remains a very ambivalent concept. Historically speaking, Staatsräson was a concept that predated the democratic state. Today, international relations are grounded in international law. When you try to define your relations with another country with a concept that is not necessarily related to international law, you are suggesting that your commitment or your relations with that country might go above international law. Now, since that, there is no scientific definition to the concept of Staatsräson, people would rightly try to understand it in the context of the practice, would try to deduce its meaning from the practice, and judging by the events of the last year and some of the positions that were taken by the German government vis-a-vis the ongoing criminal aggression by Israel against the Palestinian people, many people have construed Staatsräson to mean that Israel will be held above international law and that any country that engages with Israel in a Staatsräson kind of relationship would continue to provide Israel with a political cover that would allow it to get away with the long set of crimes that it continues to commit against the Palestinian people.
So in your eyes, Mr. Ambassador, this concept, which you explained from your point of view, is not a useful concept.
Well, I think the only useful concept that should be emphasized is international law.
The slogan Free Palestine, sometimes voiced with the addition from the river to the sea, is considered by the German Ministry of the Interior as a Hamas slogan, for it would call for the annihilation of Israel. Now, there are now today numerous cases in various German courts, and courts in Germany seem to be judging this issue quite differently. From your analysis and your point of view, does the slogan call for the destruction of the state of Israel?
Well, I think that we've had this conversation here on this station a year ago. First of all, calls for freedom, one would expect that calls for freedom, especially in the capitals of the free world, not only will be protected, but will be encouraged. And people that are calling for the freedom of Palestine are simply calling for the implementation of international law, for bringing Israel's illegal occupation of Palestine to an end, to allow the Palestinian people to exercise their right to self-determination in an independent state of their own. From the river to the sea, is actually the slogan that was advanced, promoted by the Israeli government and has become part of its political program, especially this far-right government that adopted the slogan of the from the river to the sea, the whole land is going to be exclusively Jewish. That was part of the political program that was approved by the Knesset in December 2022. Mm-hmm. It is so...
But you do know, I apologize to interrupt you, but you do know that there are some participants in demonstrations, for instance, who understand the slogan the other way around as a way of expressing their wish to throw all Jewish life out of the region and to get rid of them once and for all?
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know why you are making these assumptions.
It's not an assumption.
Well, how would you explain that there are many Israelis and members of the Jewish community, both here in Germany and in other parts of Europe and in the world, who have raised the same slogan?
I can articulate the same question to the ambassador of the State of Israel, for instance, if I want to talk about that with him, and I would like to talk about that with him, of course. But now we're talking about the Palestinian position, and which is why we, the two of us, are talking to each other.
At the end of the day, our position has remained clear. We would like to see a two-state solution, one that starts by ending Israel's illegal occupation of the Palestinian territories, a two-state solution that is based on international law. But the fact that successive Israeli governments for the last 25 years have been actively and energetically trying everything to prevent the realization of that solution, insisting that there is only going to be a single Israeli state from the river to the sea, where the Israelis would continue to have the upper hand in control of the entire territory, rendering the non-Jewish citizens of that state as second or third class citizens, is what is prompting more and more people to call for a one-state solution from the river to the sea. That's how awful the situation is. And instead of taking action against protesters who are emotionally reacting to one of the ugliest crimes in recent memory, I think that some serious effective measures should be taken against the government of Israel that is systematically violating international law, that continues to defy international consensus around the two-state solution, and is currently committing one of the most shocking and destructive crimes in recent memory.
I would like to talk about the reactions which are visible, for instance, on streets in Berlin and other cities in Germany. If you look at what is being shouted there, if you look at what is being displayed there, signs, symbols, slogans, where do you draw the fine line between what is a legitimate expression, free expression of speech, and anti-Semitism?
I think both are clear. Bigotry should always be rejected. Anti-Semitism should be rejected. Islamophobia should be rejected and should be called out for what it is. But it would be a mistake to weaponize anti-Semitism or Islamophobia or any form of bigotry to silence or to limit free speech. And I regret to say that in many cases, anti-Semitism has been weaponized to silence free speech. I can cite so many examples.
I would like to add another question to that one. If it's so clear, as you're saying, if it's so clear to decide, why do we see all these demonstrations which are ambiguous? You see red triangles, which is a symbol of Hamas. Should that be allowed or not?
As a general rule, we reject all forms of incitement to violence, irrespective
and that is
of
an example.
I'm not passing any judgments. I don't know about the specific cases that you're referring to, but I'm.
That's hard to believe.
As a general rule, I believe that applicable laws should be respected by all parties. Free expression should never be abused to incite violence by any party. However, I do believe that there have been over 3,000 protests in Germany, and the incidents that you are referring to, irrespective of their content, the ones that can that were singled out by the local authorities for potential breaches of the German laws are only a handful. But let me remind you that there have been so far over 50,000 innocent Palestinians that have been killed, including at least 70,000 children, at least 9,000 women. According to a recent study, at least 2,500 infants have been killed, infants under the age of one. So many of the scenes that you see are a consequence of heated emotions, of frustration, of anger, and indeed of so much pain.
I've been carefully listening to what you're saying, Mr. Ambassador, and you haven't mentioned, and you haven't done so in previous interviews, you haven't mentioned what triggered the Israeli reaction, namely the terror attacks of October 7th, and you haven't named them as such. Why are you sticking to this position?
I think you are drawing the wrong assumptions, and once again, you are being presumptuous. However, I am not going to engage in a debate that I know is more popular, is probably going to be more popular and attract more attention on social media. That is because I'm neither a populist nor a publicist.
Oh, no. As I rightly stated, I'm not doing interviews for the sake of social media. I'm just wondering, as probably many others are wondering as well, those terror attacks on October 7th were committed and undertaken by Hamas, which is a adversary, to say the least, to your position, to Fatah, to the moderate position. So I don't understand why you're not able to call it what it was.
I don't really know where you're getting your assumptions from, but I think that our position has been abundantly clear. Before October 7, on October 7, and after October 7, we have consistently and repeatedly been clear in our position, in our rejection of the targeting of civilians, of any violations of international law, of international humanitarian law. We have been advocating for a political solution to the Palestinian-Israeli conflict, one that secures an end to Israel's occupation of the Palestinian territories, one that would lead to a two-state solution that would actually that would bring about genuine peace and security for both Palestinians and Israelis. We've been saying that and we've been acting upon it for decades. So to say that our position was not clear is a bit of a stretch.
I would like to introduce, as one of the last points of our interview, a regional actor to widen our horizon. The Palestinian president, Mr. Abbas, has dismissed Iran's policies, saying that it has led to the sacrifice of Palestinian blood. Mr. Ambassador, is Iran's influence dangerous?
Well, I think that what His Excellency President Abbas has said represents the Palestinian position in no uncertain terms. We, the Palestinian, reject any attempts by any party, by any state, by any regional or international power to try and meddle with our internal affairs or to try and take advantage of the legitimate grievances of the Palestinian people for purposes of advancing any other agenda.
Iran has attacked Israel. What reaction of Israel towards Iran do you consider justified?
And Israel attacked Iran repeatedly.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that the government of Israel is bent on inflaming the entire region. It's not only about Iran. Israel has been attacking other parts of the Arab world and threatening the entire regional stability, including whatever peace agreements that have been achieved in the past. I believe that no one is going to be safe around the Israeli government that is led by Benjamin Netanyahu.
Do you think Germany's position, which once was considered to be a broker between both sides or various sides, that Germany's position is weakened and Germany cannot be a broker anymore?
Well, that's what many Germans would say now.
What do you say?
For so many years, Germany has succeeded in winning the respect of so many countries and nations around the world. Germany has always been a strong supporter of Israel's right to exist. At the same time, Germany has always rejected Israel's illegal occupation of the Palestinian territories, Israel's violations of international law. And there was a clear line that separated between the two positions. Now, I regret to say that that line has blurred recently, to the extent that supporting Israel for some Germans means turning a blind eye to its violations of international law, to its violations against the Palestinian people. And for some, they went even further to believe that supporting Israel's right to exist would mean supporting Israel's violations of the Palestinian rights. And that, where the concept of Staatsräson continues to trigger more and more controversy, because more and more people are defining the Staatsräson to mean holding Israel above international law, not to the same standards that other countries are held to. And that will have consequences on Germany's standing, and I'm sure that there are many decision makers here in Germany who realize that. At the same time, I must say that recent statements by several German decision makers have tried to associate the Staatsräson, to put a cap on what Staatsräson means, right, by defining Staatsräson in terms of international law.
Laith Arafat, the Palestinian ambassador to Germany. Mr. Ambassador, thank you very much for the interview.
Thank you.